Lena Mirmont with Lena Live Show. I'm so privileged to be alive and to talk today to all of you about someone internationally special figure who indeed died. He died as a human being with a high stature of his political accomplishments, being a first-class diplomat, historian. He was a lawyer who could be proud to call himself lawyer because he brought that special respect to the profession. And not the least, since I'm putting it as an end, regarding to greatness of Jerome Shestack as a human being, but just struggling to be fair and to express tremendous bouquet of a statement and role which this great man made all of us so proud of his accomplishments, his victories, not only in a legal world, but in a real world. Jerome Shestack was born on February 11th, 1923, and he passed away very recently on August 18th. It is very naturally that for someone like myself, who knew him for over 30 years and can call myself as a personal friend, cannot accept this death and struggling to just minimize this to the physical departure. Because, of course, with the memories and with his tremendous endorsement for justice, for human progress, for making history palatable much more for human race, and his vision, which in a personal level made all of us feel that much more important about our own role in life, but also made his own role so unique. His presence always was, even if he wouldn't be present. His words of wisdom would be heard in our souls even if we would not hear them physically. His sense of justice was so progressive, so uncompromising, so powerful that it was strongly contagious to someone who had some doubts about it. Some would say that he was too liberal. Someone would even condemn him for being too forgiving. But indeed, that's a very shallow and superficial assumption. Because Jerry Shestack had vision and he earned his accomplishments through tremendously profound work. Since he was a little boy, he came from a very poor Jewish family. He was born in Atlantic City. And he made his way towards highest education and honors I will mention in the future. And his graduation of Harvard Law School was just a step in the right direction, because the glory of his victory as a lawyer as a great humanitarian, being just established right after his finishing law school. There wasn't really a border between Jerry being a student and being already mature, great lawyer. There wasn't much of the difference between lawyer and a person who had such a gift for the poetry. His hidden talents being so precious, so eloquent, that only people who knew him as a very close personal friend recognized that there were very few things missing in life which Jerry did not touch. I met Jerry over 30 years ago, and very immodestly shifting into my own persona, I hope that I will achieve one of the most important goals here in this program, tribute to Jerry, is that my modest personal example will indeed illuminate Jerry's role in a great international arena. But for some people who are not known, who can be strangers, but somehow wanted to find their own place in the world. That's where I was, coming to the United States over 30 years ago, with no language, with no real understanding what is United States is all about. I stepped into the Jerry's office because I had some legal issues and some situation with the documents. And frankly, only true humanity would answer the question how Jerry could understand where I'm coming from and why I am, at that time, much younger woman than I am today, came to this country. And from that very moment, my friendship with him, with his extraordinarily rare in their own human rights family, started. In fact, I met Jerry's parents. In fact, I learned that Jerry's grandparents were very religious people, and Jerry's religious beliefs certainly made him that much more remarkable as a human being. Only with his power of conceptualizing and connection between education, between his experience, and between the religion. In fact, at one point, Jerry's belief in the religion actually saved his life. I will, in a little while, shift that story to my co-producer, Julian Lampert, and he will share with you that segment of Jerry's life and very distinguished moment of his biography where, indeed, he was involved in the Second World War, being part of the Navy. Going back to his young and already very productive years, Jerry finished his college in 2.5 years. As I mentioned, he was very much attracted to the poetry. And then he formed his very strong interest towards politics. And then when he indeed was a Harvard Law student, he made one of his most powerful statements at that time, especially. He launched a movement to have women admitted to law school, which soon succeeded. At that time, he did not know that his very special marriage to the most beautiful and talented woman who would be his wife with a beautiful name, Marsha Rose, that she would be indeed a first woman to anchor a primetime TV newscast in Philadelphia. He certainly merged his life with probably an ideal partner. They both created this tremendous substance as an extension to the life of Philadelphia. But of course, Jerry spread his wings to Washington, and then later on, he had his office in New York City as well. So together with his wife, they had two children, and they have five grandchildren. And just to take a little branch and mention some of unexpected but very strong challenge for their family, they had to be faced with autism, because one of the grandchild of Jerry indeed is affected by this disease. So Jerry was open to that humanitarian mission. They indeed created or being one of the founder of the society, which is indeed very promising in development cure for autism. And of course, their son, Jonathan, is devoting himself as a father and as a powerful carrier of promoter for the cure of autism. He has his own career, and even though he been extremely powerful in his voice in autism. Coming back to Jerry and his life accomplishments, one certainly knows him as a very known human rights activist. But that spread internationally, and he was so incredibly convincing in this field that even countries who had very dictatorial regime knew of Jerry's voice. His human rights were far away from just proclamations or just convincing sentences. He really put his own words, his own ideas, his own beliefs into action. He would be fearless in going in places in the world like Yugoslavia and some other places where blood was right at the point where human rights would collapse and would not be any hope for it. And yet Jerry would step in and would be that power weapon who will be unstoppable and who would indeed express his own and coupled with U.S. power at that time vision. It was certainly well-crafted mission and well-delivered, powerful, as I said, uncompromising action. That certainly became so valuable and so incredibly unique that Jimmy Carter actually appointed Jerry to be a human rights commissioner to United Nations. Of course, civil rights laws being a great center of Jerry's concerns. Of course, he certainly was very colorblind but again, not only in his very powerful speeches, but in a very highly principled proclamations of laws. He certainly had this tremendous respect for the intellect. He helped so many people with development of their own gifts. Jerry was a connoisseur of whatever would be thinking, whatever can be potentially developed. I would say his work was his vocation, and vocation was his work. He was that a golden balance, which we all took advantage. And also, he was that selfless and very modest, not only about his accomplishments, but about helping other people. We will take a little break now, and we will listen our usual moment of silence through music. And then after that, my co-producer, Julian Lampert, will share his thoughts and will share his memories of Jerry Shestock.
Thank you.
It is more than my pleasure to share the air with another very dear and close friend, my co-producer, Julian Lampert, and this is part of his story.
Thank you all for joining us in this special program in memoriam of Jerome Shestack, whom Secretary of State Hillary Clinton called a dogged defender of human rights. One extraordinary story that Jerry liked to tell and was very proud to tell because of how it portrayed his extraordinary Jewish heritage is how his religious faith saved his life. He served aboard an aircraft carrier, the USS Ticonderoga, when the attack on Pearl Harbor took place on December 7th, 1941. And it just happened that on that day, the cafeteria had pork being served for one of its meals. And since pork is prohibited within the Jewish faith, it's not considered to be kosher food, Jerry did not attend the meal on that particular day. And some of the most significant casualties occur, significant numbers of casualties occurred within that cafeteria on that very day when Jerry chose not to attend because his religious faith demanded so. It's an extraordinary story of to what extent a man was unconditionally faithful, devoted to not just merely believing in God, which he did very devoutly, but of an extraordinary faith in his human roots, his heritage, and an extraordinary anchor that he had in really all of humanity, which was unshakable throughout his career. Indeed, we were greatly privileged to have known Jerry, and what we take in especially great pleasure is being still connected with his beautiful family, especially Marsha Rose Shestack, an extraordinary woman in her own right. And Jerry continues to live with us all, always and forever. And I personally was profoundly inspired by this story about how Jerry's life was spared, because it inspired in me not just so much a faith, a religious faith, so much as a faith towards remaining loyal and observant to one's cultural and one's human roots. That's perhaps the highest religion of all. So on that note, I'm turning the microphone back over to Lena Miermont.
And frankly, I'm not sure if I'm ready to step in, because I'm so, so grateful to Julian Lampert for his contribution to this program. And if I could say that I'm sure all of you enjoyed his magnificent, polished language, not only because it has impeccable grammar and no accent, but because of his own wisdom and his own gift, which indeed helped him to relate to Jerry Shestack in a very profound, memorable way. Well, I regret that you have to put up back with my grammar, in my accent, but I certainly not in a cage of it. I do not feel trapped at all. And indeed, because of inspiration and my memories and my profound thankful feeling to the fate that I could meet this person, Jerry Shestack, meet his family with their own gifts, as we already mentioned. And in fact, I'd like to talk a little bit about his family. This is quite an unusual situation, because when two powerful parents are quite involved with their own careers, children often feeling, if not neglected, but somewhat a bit compromised with the attention to them. Not in the Jerry's family. They are very genuine people. They never would show sign of having famous parents and therefore carrying some kind of snobbish side of the of their behavior or any kind of distasteful characters. I always felt that the fact that they were brought up by these outstanding people would make them that much more profound individuals. In fact, they would set the tone for their peers, for their school friends, for their children, and in the future for their colleagues. And that's exactly what happened. This very difficult week for this family called Schreiber is certainly marked with very joint, great sadness. No one can set a calendar for people's either tears or their mornings, or mostly important, for their time when they are really ready to come back and, as expression goes, moving forward. One thing is clear, that we all will be moving forward with Jerry's name and his presence in our soul. Jerry was so unforgiving if he saw some waste. Jerry could not tolerate ignorance. Jerry could be sometimes even arrogant when he saw some lack of an individual initiative. Jerry was very uncompromising in a small, some little detail scale, and with his grandeur and international concepts, which he so generously expressed, being in a number of faculties of different universities. One time he called me and we had a conversation about his presentation at the Columbia, and he discussed one case which he indeed presented to students there. And I had the nerve to disagree with him. And I said that you might not win this case. After all, as a musician and a journalist, what do I know? But I felt that comfortable and that arrogant to speak my mind to Jerry. And Jerry said to me, the cases which I cannot win, I will settle. So much for his wisdom, so much for his humor. In fact, sometimes conversation could be 2-3 minutes, and that would be a lovely joke. I don't know when did he have a time to collect all these jokes, but he always had a time to make this little call, to make special individual to feel special. He always somehow remembered all our little habits. He was not very forgiving to our faults. But overall, Jerry always was moving ahead. At one point, there was quite a catastrophic realization that because of his age, he has to leave his firm. Some laws are so ridiculous. But that didn't stop Jerry. In fact, after this law collapse, no wonder to lose such a giant, Jerry established himself and reestablished himself in another position. And that, of course, frankly, was not a huge challenge because at that time he already had his accomplishment as a president of American Bar Association. So just for his accomplishments, he was invited to be a member of the firm, and that was, I always call, just purely symbolic, because Jerry always was on a go as a performing artist. His one foot would be in one country, his another part of the brain will be in another country. Of course, he was incredibly faithful to the Jewish world, and Tel Aviv University, Hebrew University, always been celebrating when Jerry would find a time to be present there. Jerry certainly had a lot to share. And coming back again to his poetic side, American Poetry Center made him as a director, and American Poetry Review awarded a prize in his honor. So his stretch of activities being so unpredictable, we always felt that Jerry has something to offer, not only in the area he had a tremendous expertise, but also with his imagination. Jerry was a dreamer. And I think that also was quite contagious, which brought him way out of a classic borders of jurisprudence, his political vision, and his diplomacy. His relationship with number of presidents, I mentioned already Jimmy Carter, also with President Clinton, went way beyond just political. They treasure his friendship. They gave him some personal books with inscription. In fact, Jerry was always a loner. He always would be holding something in his hands. Either it is an antique book or his own writing. But his precious library is endlessly enriched with original handwriting of a great people. Jerry certainly had some wonderful taste for the visual art. You can find most unusual objects in his penthouse. Jerry had a little soft touch for Russian culture, and in fact, soft touch became a hard touch when he helped a number of people to leave, to escape former Soviet Union dictatorial regime and find their own land in the United States. I'm very proud to say that I was one of those people. We're going to take another break, and then after this we will come back to Jerry's life and Jerry's few other sacred gifts, which not too many people know about. This program is devoted to legacy of Jerome Shestack, whose life ended very recently on August 18th, and whose role in the international arena as a political leader, lawyer, humanitarian, and visionary on human rights and international rights was irreplaceable. We all certainly have a shortage of hearing about some individuals who made a tremendous history for us. And if I will take it a little bit philosophically now, we are so overbombarded by difficult challenges which present world present to us, that sometimes we just don't have enough of our own human energy to pay attention to someone who is leaving our earth with tremendous marks of accomplishments. I do believe that our news and our journalism is overwhelmingly challenged with everyday news, of course, of economy. We just went through a tremendous storm. We have issues which we frankly never faced before in its magnitude, because we're dealing with a mother nature, we're dealing with a human nature, and we're trying to win over of a mother nature challenges. Well, no wonder that if in the midst of these colossal events, if challenge is so great, we have only limited attention and appreciation for some individual human life. And I hope that this program will make some difference in our own human personal world. We still need to be connected to human accomplishments in a very sacred way. And our instincts sometimes are compromised simply because of the difficulties I just mentioned. I made a point that Jerry had some very intimate secrets, and that related to his artistic nature. We did talk about poetry, and we also talked about some of his wonderful taste to visual art. I need to point at something that, even though Jerry was a true giant in his everyday activities, there was a little boy inside of him who loved little toys and mostly intricately arranged books for children. I never would forget how at one point I was watching him being in the bookstore, and for change he was not in the political section, he was not even in a law section, he was in a child section. And no more, no less, Jerry was marveling one tiny miniature book which happened to have a beautiful calligraphy and some miniature artistic drawings. I did not know that I could connect to this giant with my own appreciation for miniature art. Last years of Jerry's been quite difficult because of his physical decline, yet he still was with his times. He still not only will be with the office, but his brain almost was like a separate entity from his body. He was not afraid of death, but he was concerned of his less productivity. My one of the last few conversations I had with him, I remember as probably one of the most memorable one, because Jerry could not speak as much as he could. Jerry could not perhaps understand some of my own concepts because his own were so much more important to him. But what I do remember is this totally uncompromising drive of his will to think, to work, and to produce until his last breath. There were a tremendous amount of people at his funeral. There were enormous amount of international connections. Newspapers being extremely open to acknowledge Jerry's life. And I also felt so grateful that number of people came from different parts of the world, not to say goodbye to Jerry, but to express their profound gratitude. The speakers being just, in a sense, speechless, and yet they being extremely expressive, sincere, and just as a bit of a kaleidoscopically arranged this program, they were jumping from different episodes of their experiences with Jerry. Because Jerry was so dynamic. He was so rare in a combining classic fundamental principles of law, political practice, knowledge of history, philosophy. And yet his own genius and freedom of choice in his decision, because he would not take any decisions lightly. He had to spend quite a bit of a time to make his choice and then to form it into the decision and then move forward with the creating a law. This process was so diligent. And the same thing was in the courtroom. Just prior to musical break, I mentioned that Jerry made a little joke that cases he cannot win, he will settle. But on a serious note, Jerry indeed would take very serious cases, questionable cases. Some lawyer would not even think of taking because it would not be lucrative. But Jerry would, and he made a history by taking those cases. I'd like to make another final musical break, and then will be my final words about Jerome Shestock, who was a great figure internationally and in this country, and who passed away this past 18th of August. Epilogue, I like to just add one small thing for myself, and then I will conclude my program with the very profound statement of Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton. Jerry's humanity was so genuine that many nations and people with different languages, cultural backgrounds, if they did have some genuine offering, that was enough for Jerry to understand, to reciprocate, and to encourage. I would say that true humanity was the most powerful sunshine, which provided tremendous qualities in Jerry as a lawyer, as an international leader, as a diplomat. And with all mentioning this several times through this program, I would conclude and say that he is tremendously inspiring pedagogue and spiritual parent to younger generations. His role in a government was so profound that, as I said before, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton released her statement. And I'd like to conclude our program with a statement because it's extremely genuine. It is indeed expresses who Jerry was and how we will be remembering about him. A committed public servant and a adept defender of human rights, Mrs. Clinton adding, as president of the American Bar Association, and in the years following, he said the standard for how civil society leaders can promote human rights. Thank you for listening. I'm your Lina Mirmont with my Lina Life special edition devoted to legacy of Jerome Shestack. Thank you.